50 States of Terror may include content unsuitable for young audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Content warnings will be included in the show notes. This is Guam, the Marianas Trench. Hello, world. Welcome to another episode of 50 States of Terror. I am your favorite podcast hosted by Cryptids Anthony Diaz. And if I did the math right, this should be my 10th episode since the last episode about a U.S. territory, I think. If not, then, oh well, then a U.S. territory episode it is, and I chose Guam. And for Guam, I chose to do a little something different. I'm not choosing a cryptid to do. I'm not going to do a complete research background on in a specific cryptid. I'm doing probably the scariest place you can ever go on planet Earth. And that's deep, deep down the water of the Marianas Trench. So here we go. And now, this may be a little confusing, but I'm going to attempt to explain how Guam became an organized, unincorporated territory of the United States, which means that it has land under federal sovereignty, I think is how you pronounce that, but isn't a part of the states. It's a established federal district. But it has only, it's given self-governance and only a small amount by Congress under the Territory Clause of Constitutional, what is it? Oh, the Constitution's Article 4, Section 3. That's what it abides by. So, in a nutshell, Guam has a delegate in the House of Representatives but cannot vote on the floor, nor any citizens can vote for general elections for president of the United States. And if you remember the American Samoa episode, you know how it just, in my opinion, it's just kind of like devastating to the people who are under our governance, I guess. So by my understanding, Guam is technically its own governing nation, and are considered American citizens. So again, technically, a citizen of Guam can come to the U.S., establish some sort of residency, and vote in all elections. They just cannot extend the voting rights while in Guam. But the Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act, and I have no idea why they name things so freaking long, it allows for some citizens residing overseas to vote by absentee ballot, even if they are in a U.S. territory. So this gets a little muddy. When you talk about uniformed service members of the military who can join from a U.S. territory, have a duty station inside the U.S., but have residency in the U.S. territory, they can still vote. But other than that, other citizens, they can't. And if I remember correctly, a citizen of Guam can come to the U.S., join the U.S. military, be assigned a duty station at Guam, and still, be able to vote in general elections, but once they leave the military, can no longer vote. And that's just weird to me. But Guam became a territory of the United States effective April 11th, 1899, after the Treaty of Paris was signed in 1898, forcing Spain to secede after the successful capture of Guam during the Spanish-American War. And I said successful in air quotes. And April 11th. So we're approaching April 11th here. So it's kind of fitting I chose Guam, huh? So so now that I mentioned the Spanish-American War, allow me this quick little section, a little minute, to get some really important timeline dates correct. Okay, so from 1861 to 1865, the American Civil War was fought which was 20 years after the Mexican-American War, which was fought in 1846 and ended in 1848. Now, the Spanish-American War was in 1898, and World War I started in 1914 and ended in 1918. So, the trend from the Revolutionary War, which was from 1775 to 1783, is that America was fighting in some war about almost every 20 years. And our involvement in the Spanish-American War gets super iffy and super complicated and super controversial. Because on February 16th, 1898, the USS Maine explodes off the coast of Cuba in Havana Harbor, which immediately sends the U.S. into the Spanish-American War. Now, a number of people speculate that the explosion could have been an accident or purposely set off to force the U.S. to enter the war. Now, do I believe that it could have been purposely set off? Well, I don't know. But what was going on during the time? American expansion was in full-on swing. The Hawaiian Islands were annexed in 1898. America already had Midway from the Guano Act in 1856 from jurisdiction under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So this could have been an act of self-violence for expansion, but I have no idea. But it doesn't take away from the fact that over 200 sailors were lost in the explosion, jumping the U.S. into the war and ultimately acquiring Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Philippine Islands. A very controversial subject still to this day. Now, after the Spanish-American War was won, this saw the decline and the shrinkage of Spanish-ruled countries and territories. So, the Spanish was in Cuba, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Spanish-American War pretty much just ended all that, and it shrunk Spain. And ultimately expanded the U.S. territories as well. I haven't been to Guam yet. I hope to one day set my eyes on the beautiful sands of Guam. I heard it's gorgeous. But with this capital of Hagatnia, I hope I say that right, and the total population of approximately 868,801, I chose not to do a specific cryptid to discuss on this one. Because I want to talk about something far more frightening, and that's the Marianas Trench. So, there have been a number of videos I have come across discussing photos and video footage of a massive shark-like creature within the trench. But when I see that photo footage in the video, to me it just looks like a large Greenland shark, which can live up to 500 years old. It can live up to 500 years. But let's just first discuss what the Marianas Trench is. So the Marianas Trench is 6.825 plus or minus 0.016 miles, or 6,006 plus or minus 14 fathoms, or 10,984 plus or minus 25 meters, or 36,037 plus or minus 82 feet deep. It is deep. So the thing to take away from this is that it's the deepest part of our planet's oceans. It's just massive. Now, I don't remember when I developed thalassophobia. If you don't know what that is, thalassophobia is like the fear of open waters and the deep ocean. Because at one point, I loved the open waters. I loved the ocean. But recently, pictures of like mysterious dark deep waters just gives me anxiety for some reason now. Perhaps I've been studying what can lurk underneath the water surface a little too closely for a little too long. I have no idea. But that didn't stop James Cameron, the film director, from reaching the bottom of the trench in a sub called the Deep Sea Challenger. Yeah, not a scientist. A film director. but hey, if the guy was willing to do it, I'm pretty sure they're like, yeah, man, you go ahead, man. So what could be swimming in the open darkness? The list is actually diverse. So to name a few, the frilled shark, the dumbo octopus, the black sea devil, the vampire squid, the goblin shark, anglerfish, comb jellies, and giant isopods. Now, if you were to pause and look up some of these creatures that glide their way to the deep waters of the Mariana's Trench, you would probably say to yourself, the goblin shark? Doesn't the goblin shark look like it belongs in the list of cryptids? But it's there. It's just swimming around with its oblong fanged teeth, and it's so ugly that it's incredibly rare to see. But let's just say hypothetically, say that before the age of cameras and submarines, what if humans were able to just plop down deep enough to catch a glimpse of this thing, of the shark? I don't think anybody would really believe them. So what does that mean for the plausible, possible thing, like a sea dragon plesiosaur type creature, tucked away in, you know, underwater hiding spots, miles under the water, or maybe in Lake Loch Ness? That is where my mind immediately goes. Because between space and the ocean, we know more about space than we do about the ocean. And I don't quite understand how the science works behind it, but apparently the buoyancy in the ocean makes some creatures grow as large as necessary to support their existence. You know, case in point, the giant isopod or the Japanese crab. So by that rationale, wouldn't it be plausible to have a megalodon-like creature somewhere in the ocean? Or how about a ship swallowing kraken? Either way you look at it, Guam's closest cryptid hotspot could be the scariest place on Earth if you're not afraid of the deep waters of the Marianas Trench. Thank you all for listening. Please follow and tell your friends. I'm about 300 downloads away from hitting my 10,000 download milestone. So, man, help me out and tell your friends, share. If you like the show, you know, look in the show notes for ways to support it. All right, y'all. Later. This has been an episode of 50 States of Terror, brought to you by your host, Anthony Diaz. You can find the show on Facebook and Instagram at 50 States of Terror. On Twitter, you can find the show at 50 States Terror, without the of, you know, because of the character limitations. You can also find the show on TikTok, 50 SOT Podcast. Email at the50sot@gmail.com. That's the50sot@gmail.com. And of course, if you want to support the show, please, you may at patreon.com/50statesofterror. Thank you, and happy hunting. Later.